Welcome everybody here this morning, our family, our visitors. It's good to see a full house this morning. Glad you're here on this wonderful Lord's Day. It is a special day, of course. We know that today is Father's Day, so we do want to honor all of our fathers and those of us who do not have our fathers with us. We remember them and just the wonderful memories that we do have and the time that God has blessed us with them. I want to read to you before we begin our lesson this morning. I've always, this General Douglas MacArthur, maybe you've read this before. If you had, you could just remind yourself of it. But I think this is great for fathers and something that we as fathers, all of us, I think, aspire to is we want to be those that leave the best legacy, right, that we can for our children, to be an example for them. Well, Douglas MacArthur left a spiritual legacy to his son, Arthur. It was a father's prayer that he wrote in the Philippines during the desperate early days of the Pacific War. And I want to read you this. This is according to his biographer, Major General Courtney Whitney. The family repeated this MacArthur prayer many times during early morning devotions. So that says something about their father that he would that they would have those devotions. Here's what MacArthur wrote. Build me a son, O Lord, who will be strong enough to know when he is weak and brave enough to face himself when he is afraid. One who will be proud and unbending in honest defeat and humble and gentle in victory. Build me a son whose wishes will not take the place of deeds, a son who will know thee, and that to know himself is the foundation stone of knowledge. Lead him, I pray, not in the path of ease and comfort, but under the stress and spur of difficulties and challenge. Here, let him learn to stand up in the storm. Here, let him learn compassion for those who fail. Build me a son whose heart will be clear, whose goal will be high, a son who will master himself before he seeks to master other men. One who will reach into the future, yet never forget the past. And after all these things are his, add, I pray, enough of a sense of humor so that he may always be serious, yet never take himself too seriously. Give him humility so that he may always remember the simplicity or true greatness, the open mind of true wisdom, and the meekness of true strength. And then he concluded this letter. Then I, his father, will dare to whisper, I have not lived in vain. I think that's very fitting for us on Father's Day as we spend this day. Hopefully you fathers will spend this day with your family, enjoy the day, but remember those words of MacArthur about a life of legacy and not living our lives in vain. We started several weeks ago a series of lessons, four to be specific. We've titled them, as the title says here, The Spiritual Spark. And really what has motivated these lessons are for myself, really, because I know that I have a lot of room for growth. I think we all, as we look at our lives, we get to certain plateaus or places where we realize, you know what, I'm not where I need to be. That there is really, even for me, room for growth. And so that's what the spiritual spark is all about. And the purpose of it is to ignite again wherever we are in our faith, that purpose in us, that desire again to grow more, to strive more in the likeness and the image of Jesus himself. That's going to be our work for the rest of our life. There is nothing more challenging to the Christian than to grow in the mind of Christ. And if you've tried to grow in it, you know what I mean. That is the highest calling that there is. And none of us have reached that desired end. And truly, we won't until the very end. Until we are with God and with Jesus and with the Godhead. And so I want us to think about this topic. This is our third lesson. And we began in our first lesson starting by saying, we have got to have a plan. Look, we people plan important things. We plan vacations. We plan our weddings, marriages, right? And we spend a lot of time on those things. We even plan our money. Remember, we went back and talked about how long do we plan our retirement? Some of us, for many, many years, we plan these things, rightfully so, because they're important. But what about spiritual things? What about your spiritual growth? For I know we all understand that seeking the kingdom of God is greater than seeking the kingdom of this world or anything in this world. What about my spiritual growth plan? And one of the reasons I developed this lesson is because I have seen in my life a lack of a plan. Now, I think I'm getting better at it now. I do have a plan, but for years, I just kind of went any way the wind blew me. That's not good. I don't think that's what God desires. So we got to have a plan. Once you have a plan in your mind to grow, and there's a lot of ways that we grow. We looked at many of those, right? The study of the scripture, the meditation, our prayer life, our commitment, action, taking scriptures and applying them in our life. There needs to be action. Right? We know that James says faith without works is dead. There must be action in Kurt's life. There must be action in your life. That's growth. And so we said we have to practice. That was our second point. Have a plan. Practice the plan. And then today we're going to consider our third point, which we will get to in just a moment. I want you to think back to 2 Peter because it's Peter's letter, the 2 Peter, that is all about growth. As we call it, spiritual growth. It is the precious and magnificent promises of Christ that will bring about that growth. Now, we often call chapter 1 of 2 Peter the virtues, right? The virtues of moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love, right? Those are the qualities that he is talking about when it comes to growth. But notice what he said in chapter 1, verse 9. He said, for he who lacks these qualities, those are the qualities that I just shared with you. Notice what he observes. This is what Peter observes. He says, they're blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. You know, church, we really, as humans, we're a forgetful people, aren't we? I forget a lot of things. We have heard the adage over and over again, history repeats itself. What does that mean? We forget history. We forget what happens. It's very easy to forget. And it's very easy to forget these things. I believe personally that that's probably one of the biggest reasons why we are here and the Lord wants us here every first day of the week. Look, he knows that you're going to forget these things easy. It's easy to forget them. We get caught up in our everyday lives, right? We're going to work. We're being responsible. And then pretty soon, we have forgotten the things of God. And you know, it makes me think back. We're not the only ones. Just for a moment, go back to Deuteronomy. Moses gives the law a second time, right? You got Exodus and then Deuteronomy. Really, he goes back and he rehashes the history of Israel as they come out of slavery in Egypt through the leadership of Moses, ultimately guided by God. They come to Sinai where they receive the word of God, the law for the first time. And then it's all that story of their wilderness wandering and then they're entering into the promised land. And he doesn't want them to forget these things. Do you remember how Moses would say, listen, remember, God says, with a powerful hand, I brought you out of the land of Egypt. Don't you forget these things. These things were written for a reason, and that's that you don't forget God and what He has done. Well, that's the same in chapter 4. And I just want you to hear the pattern of Moses here as he kind of repeats himself time and again in chapter 4, starting in verse 9. You might want to underline in these verses. 9 and 10, only give heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently so that you do not forget the things which your eyes have seen and they do not part from your heart all the days of your life. But make them known to your sons and to your grandson. Remember, verse 10, remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, when the Lord said to me, assemble the people to me, that I may let them hear my words, so that they may learn to fear me all of the days they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children. So here's the pattern. Do not forget the Lord your God, and teach these things to your children. Remember, we see that throughout Deuteronomy. We see that several times throughout the scripture. Notice verse 23, same thing. So watch yourselves. That you do not forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which He made with you. And make for yourselves a graven image in the form of anything against which the Lord your God had commanded you. Remember the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me, Israel. You cannot be an idolatrous people. You are not to make graven images in the form of anything against which the Lord your God has commandment. Jump to chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Notice verse 10. And there's other verses. Matter of fact, read through Deuteronomy if you would, and you'll see them. But I just want to make this for emphasis sake of the point, that we can be a forgetful people. Verse 10. We'll go through verse 12. Then it shall come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land which He swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you great and splendid cities. Notice what he says, which you did not build. You didn't put in the sweat to do this. You didn't build these cities. And houses full of all good things which you did not fill. And hewn cisterns, which you did not dig. You drink water from these cisterns. You didn't dig these things. You didn't put in the effort. Vineyards and olive trees, which you did not plant. And you eat and you are satisfied. Prosperity here, notice. And you're going to see this again. They are a prosperous people. They are satisfied people. He says, then watch yourself, that you do not forget the Lord who brought you up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Go over to chapter 8, verse 11. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God. You hear the theme here, the pattern. Don't forget. Remember me and my ways. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments and His ordinance and His statutes, which I am commanding you today. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied, again, we're going to see the idea of prosperity, and have built good houses, and you live in them. And when your herds and your flocks, they multiply, and your silver and your gold and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will become proud. And you will forget the Lord your God who brought you up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And then notice verse 4, verse 19, another text here. Same thought. It shall come about if you ever forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them. I testify against you today that you will surely perish, that there will be a reckoning. You will pay a price. If you forget me and do not remember me and the covenant I made with you. Let me ask a question. Because I think there are times we all forget. Maybe we don't remember enough. But have you forgotten how God with such a powerful hand delivered you from the domain of darkness? Have you forgotten? Have you forgotten how God delivered you from the domain of darkness, of sin, and transferred you into the kingdom of light, of Jesus and of His church? Have you forgotten? Have we forgotten what our purpose is, why we're even here, that we are called to be a light of the world, a city set on a hill, a people who are public with our faith, a people who are not just private in faith, but who are public, who are God's landmark for the world to know what their purpose is to be, why they're even here? Have we forgotten? Have we forgotten? Christ died once and for all. The just one, right? Jesus was the just one for the unjust ones, that's you and I. And He did it to bring us to God, to reconcile us through His blood to the cross, back to God, and one day that He's going to bring us back to God. That we're going to be in the presence of God. Have we forgotten? That's why, again, church, I think it's so important for every time we come together that we give each other hope, because that's what this is all about. Giving one another hope. You know, one of the ways that we keep from forgetfulness and of these things that God has done is through evaluating our life and reflecting on our life. How are you doing on reflection? Evaluation. Anybody remember progress reports? When I was a kid, we had progress reports at school. Anybody have them? I think they still do progress reports. Before you get your report cards, the kids will bring a progress report. Well, I wasn't doing very well. I think I was in about third or fourth grade. And I wanted my parents to think I was progressing. I wanted them to think I was doing well. And I wrote this letter. Now think third and fourth grade, okay? You remember those sheets of paper that we would write on, and our letters would be about an inch, you know, big old letters. And I wrote this letter, and I would pay anything to have it. I read it years ago, but I don't know where it went. I think it got thrown away. But I had written it, said, "Dear Mr. Hewitt, your son is doing very well, Mrs. Richards." Now remember, I'm in third and fourth grade. Your son is too. He's progressing, right? I wanted them to think I was growing, that I was doing well. But I wasn't. How can we make sure that we are progressing? And here's our third point, the main point of this lesson. That we've got a plan. We practice the plan. We've got to progress. And the way we progress is through evaluation. Reflection. Everyone needs a time of evaluation and reflection. You're not going to know your progress without it. It's very, very important, not only in physical life, but in spiritual life as well, right? You have to evaluate your progress. Every Christian desiring growth should have some evaluation time. I call this the look in the rearview mirror. You don't want to look long. But everybody's got to look in the rear view. You know, our military really understands this when they come in from an operation or an op, right? They call it. What do they do when they come in from an operation? They have what they call a debrief, right? Police officers also know about this. You have a debrief where you sit down with the group and you see how it went. The good and bad, the pros and cons, right? I looked up the definition of a debrief. A debrief is a meeting in order to evaluate the conduct and results of a mission. Evaluate the results, the conduct of the mission. You and I have a mission. We have a daily mission. We have a weekly, monthly, yearly mission. Our whole life is a mission. This point is the evaluation of our conduct during this mission. To see what it is that we need to do. How do we need to improve? To know the results. Am I practicing my plan? How am I doing there? Am I doing well? Am I struggling? Where can I improve? Paul said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your salvation. I don't know how you do that without reflection. I don't know how I can do that without evaluating my life and where I am. This is the measure of growth where we see our progress. Even Socrates, although he wasn't a man of God, he was a thinking man. And remember what he observed? He said, the unexamined life isn't even worth living. He may be right. What is a life that is not examined? What is a faith that is not reflected upon? That is not examined? And you know what Paul would say to the Corinthians? If you still question this idea of examining ourselves, listen to Paul. Test yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Examine yourselves. Examine yourselves. Or don't you recognize about this about yourself? That Jesus Christ is in you unless you fail the test. You see, we are to be a people who examine ourselves. Next point. If we're going to do this, we have got to sit still and be quiet. Well, that's a profound point in our day and age, isn't it? There's a time to get up and get after it, and most of us have that down. I hear a lot of people say, crush it. You know, we crush everything. In other words, we get it done. That's good. But there has to be a time where we sit still. And we are quiet. Each lesson, I've given you a principle, right? Remember, the first one was the sky principle, that there's always sky at the top of the tree. That just says there's always room for growth. Do you remember the second one? It was the practice principle. Practice makes progress, right? We've got to practice these things to progress. Here's our third one, what I'm going to call the evaluation principle. And it's simply this, another great artwork from Kurt. I told you I can just do stick figures. This is the best that I can do. This guy is reflecting, isn't he? In a nice, quiet place. And here's the evaluation principle. You have to slow down to grow up. I have to slow down to grow up. Do you know this is proven, and we all know it, in the physical world? In the body, we know where does growth occur in the body? Now, we may not call it slowing down, but you have to stop. Right? In rest, we improve. We grow. Little kids grow. They have to get all this sleep, don't they? Because that's where the growth occurs. I wanted to read. There's so many articles. But I read an article last week on HGH, the human growth hormone, and complex protein. And let me read this to make my point. Produced by the pituitary gland in the brain and is an important part of the body's endocrine system. It is especially active in the growing child's maturation to be mature, to grow. Although it is not the only physiological factor that makes kids get taller and grow, HGH is released by the brain into the bloodstream during sleep. You gotta stop. You gotta rest. And its release is part of the repair and restoration function of sleep. Even if we're already grown, how does your body repair and restore itself? It's not on the go. It's not on the move. You have to slow down to grow up. I learned two lessons on this that tie right into this in my own life, which this is a lesson, of course, for myself that I have learned, but growth doesn't happen in a hurry or, as I've said, in a rush. And God is not learned. The things of God are not learned when we are in a rush. The wisdom of God, those things are learned when we slow down. The psalmist said, cease striving. Be still and know that I am God. God will be exalted among the nations whether we're striving or not. And he will have his way. He says in his word that we need to cease striving and know that he is God. And evaluation time is when we do that. That we let everything catch up with us that we've been doing, that we've been learning. We sit still, we stop striving, and we see God working. Last point. And then we have to adapt where it is necessary. Life is about adjustment, isn't it? Life is about adaptation, adapting to things. I have to adapt. There's things that I see I don't like and I have to adjust. Life is about adjustments. We adjust to make progress. You know, I watch people sometimes at the gym. You ever seen them bring their journals in there and they're recording their gains and they're writing things in their journal? That's for their progress. They want to make gains. I think that's a good practice for us in our spiritual health, that we get a journal and that we write down the gains and we have, use it in our evaluation. Make adjustments where we need to. Improve on weaknesses. Build your strengths. Do you know your weaknesses? Do you know your character flaws? Do you live with them every day? Make adjustments. Because it's part of growth. We need to improve on these things. I want to encourage you. You know, some people like to do daily entries in a journal, weekly, monthly. Get a journal and write. Use it as a growth journal. Get a cheap journal at the dollar store or whatever and write down these things. This is a way to be purposeful. A way to be intentional and deliberate in your growth. Because growth does not end, church, until we are with God, whenever that is. Our growth is to never end until we are with God. Have a plan, practice the plan, progress, evaluate where you are and grow. If we can encourage you this morning in your faith, if you need encouragement, this is a time set up where we would ask that you come forward. Maybe you're not a Christian yet and you want to be. As Jesus said, unless you're born of water and spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom. And that comes through baptism. That's a regeneration, a new generation, a spiritual birth. We want you to do that. Make that decision so you can become a child of God and you can grow in your relationship with God. Whatever your needs may be this morning, would you stand and come as we sing the invitation song? I breathe.